Morning's from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 29. You'll find that on page 114 of the New Testament section of your Bible. Chapter 20, starting with verse 11 at the bottom. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive and respond to your word. Amen. You probably have heard of Jesus' last seven words from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." "Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother." My God, why have you forsaken me?" "I thirst." "It is finished." "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." The last words of Jesus exemplify his selfless character and illustrate the purpose of the cross. The first seven words of the risen Savior are less well known. Fewer people have studied it, But it is as revelatory. Let us now look at these seven words of the risen Christ spoken to us on that first Easter morning and the following Sunday. The first word of Jesus after the resurrection was spoken to a woman in a garden. Woman, why are you weeping? This is interesting. I wonder if there's some parallelism with the first garden, the Garden of Eden. There was also someone in the first garden asking a woman a question. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" See how the devil raises doubt and exaggerates God's word. Here we also have someone asking a woman a question, except that this time the question is not a temptation which brought sin into the world. It is a question that brings life. God meets us at where we fell and undo our wrong. "Woman, why are you weeping?" the stranger asked. At least this is whom Mary thinks he is, because she doesn't recognize him. How could Mary, having followed Jesus closely for 3 years, did not recognize him? Perhaps it was still dark at dawn, like today, a bit still dark. Perhaps it was the clothes she wore that day that has a hood for sun, wind, and weather. Perhaps it was her tears. Perhaps she was just not looking for Jesus. Could that also have happened to you? You are frustrated. You are upset. You cry. And you didn't see God, even though He is with you all this time. If God is here, why didn't He remove the troubles? Why didn't He take away the tears, you may ask? He will one day. God says in Revelation that in the new heaven and the new earth, God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. There will be no more death nor mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But meanwhile, God has higher purposes to accomplish. Jesus is already standing on His resurrection in victory and asks compassionately, "Why are you weeping?" Jesus hasn't taken away the tears, but He is here as an answer to our tears. Yes, Jesus is standing here in His resurrection in victory. Our Lord has risen, and He is here as an answer to our tears. There's a prayer that goes like this. I ask God to take away my pain. God said, "Didn't you see it? It is not for me to take it away, but for you to give it up. I ask God to make my handicapped child whole." God said, "Her spirit is whole. Her body is temporary." I ask God to give me happiness. God said, "I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you." I ask God to spare me future pain. God said, "Suffering always draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me." I ask God to make my spirit grow. God said, "You must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful." I ask God for all things that I may enjoy life. God said, "I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things." I ask God to help me to love others as He has loved me. And God said, "Ah, you finally got the idea." Against all common sense, maybe what we need is not a trouble-free life, but a life that is accompanied by a compassionate God who wipes away our tears, When we are crying, when we are not even looking for God, God comes and calls us by name. The second word that Jesus uttered after his resurrection is, Mary. It's Mary. You know that. Okay. Oh, okay. It's Mary. It's a name, a person's name. And Jesus knows not only Mary. Jesus knows you, Michael, Charles, Don. Jesus knows each and every one of us. And sometimes we may think that God does not have time for an ordinary person like me. He doesn't understand my problem. But the truth is, Jesus knows us by name. Jesus knows us. He knows you personally by name. Mary at first didn't recognize Jesus. She thought he is a gardener. And why is it that she recognized Jesus when he called her name? Mary was a common name in Jesus' time. We know of 5 Marys just in the gospel accounts. So the fact that a stranger is able to call her by name does not necessarily make it. What makes it is that the way he called her, the tone of voice. Like a sheep that knows the shepherd's voice, we know when it is the Lord who is speaking. You may have experienced Christ reaching out to you and calling your name. Maybe it was in a worship service, or while reading the Bible, or reading a good book, or hiking through the woods. Maybe it was in a time of deep trouble, or in a super good time when you feel so blessed. Mary did not expect to witness a miracle, but when she heard Christ calling her name, she believed. When she heard her name, she turned towards Christ. What about you? Jesus told Mary, "Go tell my brothers." Mary is the first witness of an earth-shattering event. And she got the message to proclaim. The message that would rock the world. The message that many have been waiting for centuries to hear. The message of the resurrection. Christ Jesus had overcome death, but that no person had or will be. He is God. He is a God who is not just up there to receive our worship. He is a loving God who came down to earth to even die on the cross to pay for our sins in full. Sin and death no longer has the last word. We now have a hope beyond grave. We now have the message of a resurrection for ourselves one day and a great reunion day. You are here today, and chances are you do not have a problem believing in Jesus' resurrection. But how is the message of resurrection making a difference in your life? On the front cover of the Post magazine of South China Morning Post last Sunday, Easter Sunday, there was a picture of Tiananmen Square entitled, "Christ Has Risen." But what is more shocking is that the editor replaced the picture of former chairman Mao Zedong with the picture of Jesus Christ. And in it, there's an article that says, "With as many as 125 million Christians in mainland China, that now Jesus Christ now have more followers in mainland China than the Communist Party." Amazing. Hallelujah. And this is incredulous. If you know how China threw all missionaries out of the country, closed down all churches, and persecuted Christians to death not too long ago. It was during the Cultural Revolution in 1966 to 1976. But even in the darkest period, the Chinese Christians did not doubt. They believed that Jesus has overcome death. Resurrection will follow after crucifixion. So at a time when everyone laughed at the message of resurrection, they continued to go tell the brothers and sisters what Jesus had commissioned Mary. Witnessing the widespread of Christianity in atheist communist China, you just cannot deny but to believe in the resurrected Lord. Mary had a message for the disciples. The Chinese Christians have a message for their fellow Christians, for their fellow countrymen and beyond. What about us? Are we going to keep the message to ourselves? In the evening, while the disciples were gathering behind locked doors, Jesus appeared to the disciples and said, "Shalom, peace be with you." In fact, Jesus bid the disciples peace twice. And in appearing to Thomas the following week, Jesus also greeted him peace. No rebuke, no admonishment, just a gentle and tender greeting, shalom. Jesus did not say, "Where were you when I was crucified? You people of little faith." No, Jesus said, shalom. Jesus granted forgiveness. Resurrection itself is a sign of forgiveness. It is the free giving and the giving back of Jesus to us. Jesus expresses his forgiveness of us with his coming back to us as the resurrected Lord, with his abiding presence. I'm sorry to see some Christians that are still keeping their heads down, with burdened with much guilt and feeling of not good enough. Why are we going back to the old way of earning favor by fulfilling the law, when we can be in victory by receiving the grace of God? The last thing that Jesus wants to see is that we become like Judas, who was crushed by guilt. Jesus came to the bewildered and confused disciples and said, "Shalom, peace be with you." Shalom was and still is the everyday greeting of Jews in Israel-Palestine area. But this was no ordinary day. Never had that common word been so filled with meaning as when Jesus uttered that on the first Easter evening. All that the prophets had poured into Shalom as the epitome of the blessings of the kingdom of God had essentially been realized on that day when the incarnate Son of God was lifted up for the salvation of all people in this world. Remember how Jesus promised the disciples at his farewell speech that he would give them peace, a peace that the world cannot give. This promise was realized and presented to the disciples when, after greeting them, Jesus showed them his nailed hands and pierced side. "By his bruises we are healed. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole." Because of Jesus Christ's suffering and death, the enmity of sin is removed. We are now being forgiven and have peace with God and the peace of God. Jesus' bit of shalom gives us peace with God, peace despite trouble, and a mission to spread the news of peace and the good news of the kingdom to many who are still living in fear and hopelessness. The fifth word of the risen Jesus is, "As the Father has sent me, now I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Here is the call to service and the power to serve. Here is the reason why we are not taken home to heaven immediately after our conversion. God has more in store for us. Do you remember on the night before Jesus was crucified? He told his disciples that anyone who has faith in him will do what he has done and do greater things than these. How could that happen? Jesus was referring to this moment, this very moment, when he would give the disciples the Holy Spirit to continue his work. Wow! That's how much Jesus loves us. that he's even willing to share his power with us. The Holy Spirit comes to lead, comfort, and empower. The cross gives us the message. The resurrection gives us the power. Power to wake up the slumber souls. Power to save even the seemingly hopeless individuals. When Jesus came, Thomas was not there, and he would not believe that the other disciples had seen Jesus. He said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus came again, and this time he said, "Peace." And he turned to Thomas and said, "Reach out. Touch my hands and my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Notice how kind and merciful Jesus is to the slow to believe, the sincere doubter, to a man who, after proper evidence, still doubt. Then God calls it folly and foolishness. But to the sincere doubter, the Lord says, "Examine me. See it to yourself. Do not doubt, but believe." We like to pick on Thomas, but the truth is, none of the disciples believe without seeing. Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, the disciple whom Jesus loved, they have seen the empty tomb and may have believed something. Yet they still did not understand that Jesus had risen. It is not until the disciples see Jesus himself that they come to believe in the resurrection as reality. The risen Christ comes to us and shatters our blindness, whether it is a blindness of confusion like the disciples, or a blindness of indifference, apathy, or idolatry. Christ's appearance breaks those strongholds that block our spiritual sight. And Christ still comes to us in the Word, through the communion, in the fellowship of the saints, and the forgiveness of sins. In the unselfish act of a friend or stranger, Christ comes to us. And Jesus continues on, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This suggests that believing involves more than just seeing the risen Lord. If the blessed faith is not based on seeing, then what is it based on? I think the answer given in the text and throughout the Bible is that faith is to be based on the Word. Thomas should have believed the word from the other disciples, "We have seen the Lord." And the other disciples should have believed the word from Mary, "I have seen the Lord." And we should have believed the testimony of those early disciples and God's word. And talking about faith without seeing, I want to share with you the experience of a group of brothers and sisters in our midst. Scarlett has a health problem that her body attacks her own red blood cells that is causing a low platelet level. And what complicates the situation is that she is pregnant and is told that she needs to have a platelet count of 40 to 50 for natural delivery and to a level of 80 to 100 for a C-section. But after heavy doses of medication and IVIF infusion, her platelet level is still in the 20s. And this has gone on for months, and especially intense in the last month as the due date is approaching. But the faith of Scarlett, Kurt, her husband, and her small group never waver. They believe that God is loving and powerful, and as this baby is a gift from God, God will protect the baby and Scarlett. And they claim Psalm 91 for this family. "When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. And last Sunday, after service, the small group circled around Scarlett and Kurt and laid hands and prayed for them. But on Wednesday, we received the news that Scarlett's platelet count dropped to a dangerously low level of 8. And the following morning, her water broke and was rushed to the hospital. We were anxious, but we never failed to believe in God. We sent our prayer requests to the prayer chain and have many people pray for this family. We do not know what holds in the future, but we know who holds the future. We believe in God. We believe we have a powerful and merciful God. Thursday afternoon, the baby arrived, healthy and strong. Scarlett was under a 24-hour observation period, and she came out fine. She was tired, but with a peaceful and joyful smile. If you were to ask Scarlett, "How do you know that Jesus has resurrected?" I believe she would say, "I know because he lives in me." Salvation is determined by the way one responds to the word. Salvation comes through our ears more than through our eyes. Have you heard and listened? Jesus' 7 last words from the cross give a message to the world. The first 7 words of the risen Christ give a message to his church, to his people. "Friend, why are you weeping? Go tell my brothers, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Do not doubt, but believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Amen. Let's pray. As you close your eyes, I want you to have a moment of silence to respond to God's call. Christ Jesus has risen. He's not just a man. He is whom he claims he is, God. Have you believed him? If not, why not tell God now that you are sorry that you have ignored him and live in your own way? Thank him for dying on the cross for you, and ask Jesus to please enter into your life as your Savior and Lord. If this is what you want to say to God, say it. And this will be your prayer to God. "I'm sorry. Thank you. Please." Jesus has also extended another invitation. He says, "Go and tell my brothers, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." You may want to share your faith, but you feel inadequate. Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Open your hands and thank God for the Holy Spirit. Ask God how he wants to use you. Ask God what is the first thing he wants you to do. Have a moment of silence and talk to God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, Amen.